Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Wake up to something different on Sunday mornings by joining me, Pete Evans, for Spinning Jazz. The finest in modern jazz, from hard bop to bossa nova, from Latin to soul. That's Spinning Jazz every Sunday morning at 9 on Sheffield Live. 93.2 FM.
If you like rock in all its forms, you will love Glory Days. You can listen to us locally on 93.2 FM and on the telly, and anywhere in the world on sheffieldlive.org. What do you think, Don? You know what? I think he likes it. That's Glory Days, every Monday 1 till 3 here on Sheffield Live. Bosh, bosh. Oops, I've had an accident.
Hello, I'm Harry Wilburn. I present Steel & Wire every Wednesday, 10 a.m. Americana, bluegrass, American roots, and more. Lots more. Lots of guests, lots of local music and musicians. That's Steel & Wire, Wednesday, 10 a.m.
You're listening to fabulous Harry Wilburn on Steel & Wire.
It's time to open the music box. Join me, Steve Roden, every Thursday morning between 10 and 12 for music from the 40s to the 90s from my own music collection. Songs I've grown up with, ones I am sure you will enjoy hearing again. Hope to see you then.
If you love new music and you want to discover the best new artists out there, then tune into The Backroom with me, Paddy. I'll be playing the best of new indie, electro, EDM and punk, and showcasing new Sheffield talent. Also music news, local and national gig guide and new album releases. So tune into The Backroom every Thursday night between 6 and 7 p.m. here on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM.
This is Sheffield Live.
Good afternoon. You're listening to The Film Show on Sheffield Live. I'm Martin.
And I'm Denise.
That the time.
Look who's back!
I know. I've missed our Saturday lunchtime
ramblings.
Chats, ramblings, arguments.
You're back at the controls.
Back here, back where you running belong. The desk. It's been a weird week. But we're going to have a bit of a
catch up
on things that we've both seen and things I haven't had time. So where would you like to start, my dear?
Well, I had a lot of fun last week on the show with the new Steven Soderbergh film, Black Bag. Well, so I played a lot of sexy spy music and in response to the sexy spy film. But you've seen the film as well, haven't you? I gave it a very good review.
I did get to see it and I liked it. Very, very much for a number of reasons. it was so refreshingly adult.
Yes.
I...
Short. Snappy.
It was sexy. It was lush and plush. And, I mean, everything about it just looked gorgeous, didn't it?
From the Landon looked good.
Yeah. But I think what he did well about his use of London was... I mean, that could have been anywhere where they were saying it was. It was just lots of steel, glass, ultra-modern, apart from the house they lived in.
Which was
Hampstead.
One house outside, 16 inside, maybe, yeah.
Oh, you've got all these Hammy toilets going here. But I thought it was a really, really good, tight film. And I think, as I said to you, I think the polygraph scene was so brilliantly edited. Mm. It was, this is really exciting. Because there's hardly any action in it at all,
not
is it?
Really, no. And even the dinner table scene, and I know that he's had a lot of interviews where he's saying, well, most directors dread doing a dinner table scene. And that's a fantastic dinner table scene twice.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you think that first one, you've got six people and you don't really know who they are and you've got no idea what their relationships are with each other. Mm. And you don't 100% know it by the time it's ended in that scene. But it was just so... You were just in this scene with them,
weren't
you? I loved
some of the throwaway dialogue as well. So we talked about the house. When they're coming into the house and they're like, this house is amazing. And they're saying what we're all thinking of, going, how can you afford this house?
Yeah.
And Cate Blanchett says, benefit of not having kids. Yeah. I was like, I don't have any children and I don't... I'm not a super spy, so that's why I haven't got
That's where it all goes wrong, isn't it? That's where we both made our big mistakes.
Yeah, not a super spy, never mind.
But I thought we would make a great double bill with the other Soderbergh spy movie, Haywire.
Which I haven't seen, but...
And it's sort of like a chalk and cheese thing, although both of them are an hour and a half long.
Take note, other directors.
This is a three-hour double bill, and you can obviously have that intermission in it. But this one is action-packed, absolutely, wall-to-wall. It's just, I can't remember her name. Gina Carano, who was a female, is that mixed martial arts, MMA star, I think. And she's the star of it. She's the spy. And Michael Fassbender, again, Channing Tatum, Ewan McGregor. She beats all of them up in the course of this hour and a half.
That sounds fun.
It is the greatest piece of fun ever because it doesn't give you a moment to even catch your breath. And I think the two of them would be great, such a great double bill. So if you haven't caught Haywire and you enjoyed Black Bag.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've rewatched some of my favourites and I think it's worth me going because I don't have an extensive knowledge of Soderbergh. Like Sex, Lies and Videotape, when that came out, was into that. But he's been so busy.
Yeah,
And I've not caught all of it, so I'm gonna catch up with Haywire.
Is the TV series he did, The Click? There's only two seasons. That's brilliant.
Look, I'm writing it in my book.
Oh, she says, "What's that pen? Have you run out of ink here on the Click?" Clive Owen. It's also set in a New York hospital at the turn of the 19th century, and it's fascinating.
Well, also reviewed on the show last week was the Netflix series Adolescence, which has since then really snowballed into the public consciousness.
It's been talked about in Parliament.
Question Time.
Yep. Well, that's not always a good recommendation.
It's almost like the with the Post Office ITV series last summer with Toby Jones as I mean, that was a story that was in the news, if you listen to Radio 4 or you read Private Eye.
You'd known about it for years.
That was a scandal that had been going on for a long, long time and had been reported on. But it took a TV show to go, but what about the impact on an individual that had? I'm going to tell you a story about this.
And it's strange because that really highlights how many people don't listen to news or current affairs programmes. And it was like almost like, is this a true story sort of thing to a lot of people who were watching it and obviously taken by the the outrage that the story caused in people. But
it feels like there's WhatsApp chats up and down the country, or internationally even, of like, oh, right, what do I do now? Do I take my phone off my kids, my teenage kids? And I'm like, well, the damage might have happened a long time before then. But
I think it's been very, very popular in America on Netflix as well.
Although bafflingly, some people are going, so did he do it? Like, that's the whole point.
No.
That's not
is he coming back for season two? Yeah.
You've only seen the first couple of episodes, haven't you, so far?
Yes, yeah. And I didn't hear last week's show, so I have to apologise.
I gave it a glowing review. I felt,
did you?
What,
your show?
Yes, my own show. I said it was compulsive viewing, and so basically I went to watch the first episode so I'd have an idea about it to talk about it on the show, and I just inhaled all four in that night. And I think that's what a lot of people
I've watched the first episode
well.
And I'm going back to do rest of it. And it'll probably be this evening. So it's technically superb, with each episode being one continuous mobile shot, which I must admit, I do get a bit fed up with. It doesn't have the allure to me that is.
I'm more taken by that. And I think we were talking about this earlier, and I was kind of saying, because I like theatre a lot, that idea of knowing that you're watching someone and you're experiencing it as in one take. I really like that.
I get that entirely. Mm. I just think, well, I'm not watching theatre. I'm watching a piece of cinema. And I can admire the technical expertise that it takes to do that. But sometimes I just like some nice setups and some editing.
Oh, and a cutaway.
And a cutaway, yes.
Show me the horizon.
Yes, yeah, so something like that. A nice establishing job. I just think sometimes you can be in it and then you think, oh, I'll just look in the background to see if something's gone wrong or you know.
There's a lovely...
Say, it's been overused in my... But
there's a lovely
leave
scene,
it there,
though,
yeah.
at the end of the second episode where... it's a shot, I suppose, where they travel from... So they put the camera onto a drone to go from when the detective's in the car with his son.
Yeah.
And it goes over to the car park, and you see the proximity of the event where it happened, where the young girl was murdered, and the school that they both go to, just that far away. And then as the camera comes down, obviously an operator takes over the camera and... You see the father of Jamie laying some flowers and how it's affected him. But also the song in the background is it's like a school choir, and it's people from the school singing Fragile. I think it's a Sting song, isn't it? Yeah. And the last voice you hear is played by the actress who played Katie, who's the young girl that's murdered.
Oh, right.
So there's all these little nuggets. And there's all sorts of click... articles going on online where you get a little bit more information about everything in the show that sort of brings you into the story even more.
As I say, I'm not trying to say that as purely negative.
It's just your.
I'm starting to get a bit of. I'm just getting a bit fed up with it.
I love it.
And Stephen Graham, he needs a nice, cosy BBC sitcom that comes on at about 8:30 at night with him in a happy family with some, you know, kids and that. And he works in an office and his boss is always on at him.
He's a very happy person, but I think
he does
get a lot out of these characters.
Yeah.
And,
I think, Steve, just...
chill out, mate.
Just do it. Just take it down a notch, mate. That's all you got to do.
But I love that they have that. He has that working relationship with Jack Thorne, because obviously that goes back to This Is England, doesn't it?
Yes, and didn't they do the? Was it the boiling point?
Yeah,
and it's
the
same director, the Boiling Point, and all these.
And that turned out. I mean, they were sort of that was like a favour doing that short for him, because the Boiling Point was originally a short,
and then they.
And they went, this
film,
is really good, yeah.
Which was, again, all in one. But then when they did the follow-up TV series of Boiling Point, they shot it like a film. editing.
I must admit, I didn't seek out the TV series because I loved the film so much
I liked it, and it was quite a relief. Stephen Graham wasn't in that a lot. I think season two,
for obvious
if they
reasons,
make it.
If you've seen the film.
Yeah.
Just, what else have you had enough of?
I've had enough of remakes.
Already. Yeah. Stop it already.
And I say, and you'll be shocked at this, I'm not going to see Snow White.
Oh, nor am I. You could not pay me to sit and watch Gal Gadot. I'd rather sit and watch on repeat that terrible thing she did 5 years ago.
Oh, she can imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, no thanks, darling. On your way.
Sorry, carry on.
I was just going to say. You know, I had to read up because I hadn't quite worked out why it was so hated months and months and months before it came out. But once I've read about it, I think, no, I hate this film even more than it was, even worse, and it was just like an abject sort of idea in my head. Oh, they've remade Snow White. Oh, have they really?
I think I mentioned on the show at the end of last week, well, here's what's coming out. It's Flo and Snow White. I'm not a mad animation fan anyway. But I didn't know what I was going to review this week. Turns out nothing.
I've noticed.
But there's no way I could sit and watch that.
And CGI dwarves.
But didn't, what's the thing with Disney and having to, they're remaking live animation
They're making live animation remakes of their classic cartoon feature films. So they've done Beauty and the Beast and Have they done Cinderella?
Yes, they have, yeah. It was Emma Watson in one of them, wasn't it? Oh, I don't know.
Anyway.
Chanter.
But that got me into... it was two other stories that caught my attention. Other remake horror stories. One of them is... they're planning to remake Starship Troopers.
I mean, what?
What?
Isn't the joy of Starship Troopers that it's a little bit off in terms of quality?
No. The thing about Starship Troopers is that it's a satire. It's, you know, all of this right-wing militarism, Leedy Reefrid style stuff, it's taking the mickey out of all that stuff because that's what Verhoeven's like. But, you know, he's had RoboCop given a good kicking. Total Recall was made into a mess. Now, if you think they're going to make Starship Troopers with the same amount of subversive humour in it, in this particular political setup, I think not. And again, anyway, there's no point. It is just one of those films that's pointless to remake. But then I thought, well, surely there can't be anything that's more pointless to remake. But I was proved wrong.
Do we need something in colour here?
Phoenix Pictures has set Jack Houston to direct the upcoming feature film Joseph Merrick, revolving around the individual known in history as the Elephant Man. Now, I have no idea who Jack Houston is. I know he's a...
Is he son of John?
No, he's a British actor who has apparently been in... Well, I even lost interest reading about it, but then... It's just the spiel.
Is it a remake of the film? Is it a remake of the story of Joseph Merrick? Is it a remake of the play?
A remake of The Elephant Man would have to mean, well, it's just another film about the Elephant Man. But this tells you exactly, this splurge from Phoenix Pictures makes it very clear to you. The film will focus on Merrick's final months, exploring his transformative journey and the unexpected, life-altering relationships he forms along the way. As Merrick discovers moments of true connection and humanity, the film will shine a light on the profound, often overlooked aspects of his experience, challenging what we think we know about his life and legacy. Bollo is all I can say to that. Utter bollo.
Do you know one of my favourite old 80s British films is a film called The Tall Guy? Do you know that?
I do know it, yes.
Jeff Goldblum as the hapless gets a part in a musical.
There's a great song called I'm Packing My Trunk.
And it's got the line, take a deep breath, prepare for the worst, the ugliest man in the universe. And then they reveal his face. And like it's like you can't... That's like a parody of those kind of musicals. But you can't, like, top that for...
And again, so why would you want to do anything? Did you not find David Lynch's The Elephant Man...
We've done it.
Emotional. What did you... Oh, yes, anyway, it's about this bloke who had a funny face. Yeah. Michael Elphick was in it, and Earth from Birds of a Feather. That was what I can remember about it. So, I mean, just... quite. Just stop it.
Stop it.
Give it a rest, will you?
Make some new stuff that's good. Talking of stuff. Oh.
Very sad news. The Belgian actress Emilie Ducon passed away last week. I think she was only 40, in her early 40s, and she burst upon the scene back in 1999 in the Dardenne brothers' film Rosetta, which cleaned up at the Cannes Film Festival that year with the Palme d'Or, and she in fact won the award for Best Actress that year. Have you ever seen Rosetta?
No.
Well, she made a few other films with the Dardenne, but she was quite prolific for the rest of her life. I think it was just that there's a whole tranche of French and continental films that we never get to see.
No.
There are hundreds of them out there. But if you've never seen a film by the Dardenne brothers, they are extraordinary films. They are very much like almost shot on the fly. I won't say like low budget, but they have a documentary feel to them, and they always take, and most of their subjects are very much about the most vulnerable in society, and they can be very, very hard films. They very rarely have a happy ending. They're very, very honest with their audiences, and Ducon's performance in Rosetta is absolutely extraordinary. Mm. And if you've...
She's presumably a teenager then.
She was. Yeah. I think she was 18, I think, at the time. And it's not a happy film. But if you've never seen any of the Dardenne's work, they are just something else. If you can think of like a Belgian Ken Loach to try and give it a very sort of...
Easy tag, to
boil it down to something. That will sell it at a pitch with Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
Ken Loach, but in Belgium. Ken Loach in Walloon. But I thought she was a tremendous actress, and I've caught a couple of her films over the preceding 25 years, but it's been so sporadic as to which ones you could actually find with subtitles.
Yeah,
so
I always get the feeling we're missing out on European cinema.
Oh, yeah,
star.
Yeah. Mm. Well, we have to dig deeper on some of these streaming sites to get it. It doesn't matter if you haven't heard it or there's no one in it you've heard of.
Well, there's When Autumn Comes, it has got the Francois Ozon film that's out this weekend. I couldn't get to see it yesterday because of the Shaft Film Festival's on at Showroom, so there was no evening screening of it. I'm going to catch that now, but you feel like they're getting very limited if they get over here at all.
Yeah.
You have to be in one of the streaming services to
catch
them. And
then, I don't know, it's like, it's all hit and miss, it seems, all of it. But trailer trash?
Well, it's not even a trailer, really. It's a teaser, isn't it? More than a trailer. Spinal Tap, the second. Look, if it was Bad News, which you can't be because sadly Rick Mell is no longer with us.
They made two of Bad News.
I'd have been more with it. Well, they were closer together.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
I love Bad News, though.
Oh, I do, yeah.
Yeah, off by heart, I know the lyrics. So Spinal Tap itself came after Bad News.
I mean, all the trailer is a close-up of the amp.
Going up to?
12.
Hey, I get the joke there. Where do you think, narratively, though, those characters will be? I mean, looking at their age and demographic, at least one of them's got to be a Trump supporter, right?
Well, you think about it, the first Spinal Tap, this was their comeback. Yeah. That was their comeback tour there, wasn't it? You know, they'd been billionaires. And they were old men.
Yeah.
In this.
I wonder where it's going to go.
I mean, will they have been, completely out of the rock business and be property developers or have an estate in Florida.
You almost can't imagine them achieving anything, though. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm intrigued to a certain extent of where they're going to go with it.
This is a Broadway musical based on Jazz Odyssey.
Look, I can't cut it down completely because I'm...
We need to get on with the show. We've got to get on with the show, he says here, and we need a piece of music.
What have you picked?
Well, this week, I've decided to go with a bit of a review of the director Barry Levinson, whose new film, The Alto Nights, is going to be reviewed after this first piece. So Barry Levinson has been making films since the directing films since the early 80s, and I'd forgotten just how many films he'd made and how many films of his are films I really, really love. I won't call them the best films ever made, but they are favourites of mine.
Right.
And this is from his very first movie, Diner. And I can remember sitting in the cinema, which is a great ensemble film, which he does really well. And this is all set in the early 60s in Baltimore, a group of young men and their adventures. And this song was played in. I'd never heard it before.
Mm.
And I've always loved it since then. And it's Clarence Frogman Henry and I Ain't Got a Home.
Ooh, ain't got no home. I know a place to roam. Ain't got no home. I know a place to roam. I'm a lonely boy. I ain't got a home. I got a voice. I love to sing. I sing like a girl. And I sing like a frog. I'm a lonely boy, I ain't got a home. Ooh, 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 ooh. I ain't got a man.
In the room.
Ooh. Mm. We were so busy chatting that we just like...
He ended too
like,
quick.
Yeah.
Ended too quick. Clarence, don't do that again.
We were doing chat then, we could have done on air as well. Never mind.
Yeah,
you'll miss it. It was magic.
And like and like most times when it's foul-mouthed. so Barry Levinson. I mean, I don't know. Just let him say, oh, it's a Barry Levinson movie on. We must go and see it. I don't think people do that.
I don't think so.
You seem very vague about him, don't
well,
you?
Well, no, I mean, he was someone that I confused with somebody else when we first started talking about him and started talking about Tootsie, which is someone completely different, Sidney Pollack, isn't it?
Apparently, Levinson did do some script doctoring work.
Well, maybe that's why I'd heard
his
name.
No, you're just wrong.
Oh, shut up. I think I'd heard his name attached to it.
Did you?
But, like, what, Rain Man?
Well, yeah, but you think... He's made some, like, huge movies. Good Morning, Vietnam.
Good Morning, Vietnam.
Rain Man, yes, for which he won Academy Award for Best Director, and it won Academy Award for Best Movie. Disclosure, do you remember?
Was that
how
him?
That was? He did Disclosure.
Oh. Oh, hang on. He also did Wag the Dog, which was quite funny.
Wag the Dog was good. And that was a fairly low budget, you know, film they made very, very quickly.
Then there was Sleepers as well, which was a bit of an overblown...
That was one of those, this is a big Oscar movie sort of thing, isn't it? Everyone should get...
We're dealing with childhood drama.
Yes. In a world where men can be... but I like his... I tend to like more his little more...
gems.
More personal films. Like Tin Men, I think, is wonderful. Richard Dreyfuss, Danny DeVito and Barbara Hershey.
Oh, I like Barbara Hershey.
Have you not seen Tin Men?
No, I don't think so.
God, you've got... Get your pen out.
Hang on.
T-I-N.
Shut up.
Just the one N. that's a great one. And that's another one who's Baltimore films.
Is he from there then?
He's from Baltimore, yeah. And he used to do some script work for... he started off doing script work and being a comedian himself. And if you want to see Barry Levinson on screen, have you ever seen High Anxiety, Mel Brooks' take on Hitchcock movies?
I think I've seen clips of it. I haven't seen the whole thing.
Well, the Psycho Mickey take that they do is set in a hotel where... Brooks is a famous psychiatrist, and he's gone to he's gone to San Francisco to this conference. And when he gets in the hotel, he keeps talking to this bell. I'm saying, "Can you get me a newspaper?" And I'll get it for you. And every time he crosses his paths with his bell, he says, "I asked you to get me a newspaper. Can you get me that?" And this happens three or four times, and then Brooks goes into the shower, and it's like a shot for shot thing of the shower sequence.
From that film.
From that, up until the curtain is pulled back and it's the bellhop with a rolled up newspaper. Here's your paper. And that's Barry Levinson.
Oh, is it? And oh, I like that story.
It's probably the best bit. It's probably the best bit of the movie. Levinson has carved out this really sort of varied career, and he makes these big budget blockbusters.
Well, there's got to be some financial flops in there as well.
God, there's some shockers.
Was that Robin Williams again?
Toys, yeah.
That looked like a little bit of a difficult one.
Yeah.
But it had some big names in it, like Robin Williams. LL Cool J was in it as well. But it looked...
The worst, I mean...
It looked a bit too surreal for the audience.
Levinson hasn't directed a film for 10 years. And when I talk about The Alto Nights, it's his first film he's directed in 10 years. Because 10 years ago, he made Rock the Casbah with Bill Murray.
Oh, now that's the Afghanistan one, isn't it?
I can't imagine how anyone ever greenlit this film. It is so misconceived. It is so desperate. It is so abject in its execution. I don't even want to try and even think, work up a summary of what it's about. It's just so bad. And I think it made about 2 and 6 on even in international markets.
I can tell you exactly how much.
Please, if you would.
From a budget of $15 million, the box office was $3.4 million.
That only cost $15 million.
Mm-hmm. That's what it says here.
But then you have to make double that, don't you, to get into profit? It was shockingly bad, shockingly bad.
I mean, it looks a bit tone deaf, doesn't it, at least?
Yeah.
So, well, we'll leave that for your review.
yes, but one of my favourite films of Levinson's, and I think almost overlooked as one of the best gangster films of the
90s. Is it the 1991 film?
Bugsy, Warren Beatty as Bugsy Siegel, and Annette Bening as Virginia Hill.
That's probably 1991. I guess would be the last era you could see sort of Warren Beatty as that kind of peak attractive man getting away with what he got away with.
And he realises that, so he marries Annette Bening, and they stay together. Right up until now. You could have said, there's a man who knew his time was up. And them days is gone. And let's say, if you want to marry anyone, to see you out in your final days.
You'd be lucky Annette to get Bening Annette Bening.
He's got to be the person you would want.
But I've never seen it.
You've never seen any of these films at all.
There's a big gap in that film. Big, sort of big American era.
Harvey Keitel is in it. Joe Mantegna is George Raft. So it's like half about Hollywood, half about gangsters.
I think I was seeking out little nice European films at the time. Yeah. Not big American men films.
Annette Bening is the centre of this film, and she looks incredibly, well, breathtakingly gorgeous in it.
Look, I'm writing it down. Look, Barbara. There you go.
Why, not IE?
Shut up. That's the third time I told you to shut up. You don't get a fourth.
Oh, really? Right, so in terms of, I'm going to play a piece of music. I'm going to play Ennio Morricone's theme from Bugsy. Here we go. Thank you. the gorgeous theme from Barry Levinson's Bugsy there by Ennio Morricone.
It was very gentle.
It was, wasn't it?
Is it a gentle film?
It is at times, and it's a film that then comes up behind you and surprises you with some fairly brutal moments.
Okay, it's gone on the list.
Oh, has it?
Yeah. For you, Martin.
Not for me. So, for our reviews this week, not much at all.
Nothing from me.
No.
Although, if you want to go and see a dialogue-free animation that won an Oscar, I'm sure it's very good. Flow is out this week.
Not good enough for you to get up off your arse and go and see it, though, last night.
I just didn't want to go to a kids' screening, and I just was so tired. And it looks jolly good if you like that sort of thing.
There you are, then. A completely... irrelevant recommendation. You can't blame her. Well, I didn't go and see it, did I? How would I know? All right, so I went to see Barry Levinson's new film, The Alto Nights, where he returns to the gangster genre. And it's the story of two famous New York mobsters from the 1950s, Vito Genovese and Frank Costello. And the hook with this is both of them are played by Robert De Niro. Shock, horror.
Oh.
Yes. Now, it's a beautifully mounted, lavish-looking production, I have to say. And I wasn't looking forward to this at all. But it turned out to be a bit better than what I thought it was going to be. But it has some problems and some flaws still that I couldn't quite.
It is at least better than the trailer then.
The trailer's awful. The trailer seems to go on forever. You think, I've seen that film. Mm. But yeah, the trailer doesn't sell it. And I mean, it starts off with a failed assassination attempt on Frank Costello, and from there on, the story spirals out about the friendship and rivalry between these two gangsters that have been friends since they were boys, and now they're elderly men. And you've seen it all before, though, quite basically. Mm. And you've seen it all before. You've seen it. Well, the script is written by Nicholas Pileggi, who wrote Goodfellas and Casino. And it very much follows the mould of those. In effect, you have these two main characters. One of them is a gangster, but he's reasonable. He'd like to go legit. He wants to put away... He wants to put behind him the chaos, the bloodshed and the violence of the days of them setting up their criminal empires, and that's Frank Costello. The other character, Vito Genovese, is an absolute mad dog. Some of him looks at him the wrong way and he want to blow their head off. So in effect, what you have here is Robert De Niro in the guise of Frank Costello playing the normal Robert De Niro role, and in the guise of Vito Genovese playing Joe Pesci. And that dynamic, I have to say, I'd seen it, and I think we've all seen it quite a few times now, and it didn't have anything to give it a sort of zip. Roughly, oh, this is
you
different.
You gotta have a zip.
Well, I was just going to get it. Everybody talks like a wise guy in this. Even the women. So what are you going? I don't know what you got. What are you doing here? I just gave him the gun and told him to shoot the guy. And he goes on and on. I go, someone just speak proper English for a bit, please. I'm stuck in Jersey for 2 hours. Oh.
Was it a lot?
It was. And it's like one of these things. I sort of want to give it a bit of a rate. But
is that your soft-hearted love for Barry Levinson, or is it...
I hate... Barry Levinson made some terrible films, and I will come out and say when they're terrible. Mm. This wasn't terrible. I just felt that...
Not sure.
His talents weren't used to their full extent here.
Right.
And I'm a bit fed up with Robert De Niro as well these days. I think I've seen enough of him. Did you see him on the One Show?
I've seen the clips of him talking. He's on the same one as Stephen Graham, wasn't he?
It was really uncomfortable. He just looked as though he just did not want to be there. And if Stephen Graham and Owen Cooper from the Adolescent were there, and he didn't really seem to. I mean, I thought this would have worked for him because he's been in films with Stephen Graham. Mm. They've shared scenes together.
Kind of doesn't seem to engage so much, does he?
No,
when he's in that kind of thing.
I think that situation doesn't seem to. But come on, you know, you've got this young lad next to you who's just starting his career, and you know, yeah, you're good, and you're starting really well. Yeah, hey, whatever. Anyway, it was weird. So, the Alto Nights runs for 2 hours. It doesn't outstay its welcome too much. And there's some bits where it gets quite interesting. Mm. There's a really good scene where Frank Costello goes up to give evidence to the grand jury about organised crime. And that's brilliantly shot and edited. And it really gets quite exciting. But then there's other bits. I've just seen this before in other films. Yeah. Again, we see Albert Anastasia being assassinated in the barbershop. And how many films have I seen this in? And, I saw one review which said it's like Scorsese light. But, you know, The Irishman, I thought, was Scorsese light as well.
That was Scorsese's soul.
What are you going to do? Maybe the gangster film needs something of a complete and utter root and branch reform. There wasn't one black character in the film.
No.
Not a single one.
Famously in Baltimore. Is it Baltimore?
This was all in New York. This was, and again, that's reflecting the story, I suppose. But I came out thinking, well, I've seen it now. I can tick that box, and there you go. Sorry, Barry, but don't wait 10 years to make another one, but make something like the film we're just briefly introduced to you now. We have a piece of music, our next piece of music, which is from, this really is one of my favourite Barry Levinson films, The Natural.
Right.
You writing it down
yet? Oh, my God.
Robert Redford.
Like back in the university.
It's like you're my secretary or something. Can I have a coffee, please, Denise?
Absolutely not.
No, thank you.
We're drinking in the studio, as we know.
Okay, exactly. Mm-hmm. If you could have it on the table outside for me when the show's over. And actually, you ain't gonna. It's a baseball movie.
Oh yeah, that's. I've already. Yeah, no.
So, what can you do against such prejudice?
There's only one baseball film I'll watch, and that's A League of Their Own.
Yeah. I love it. But yeah. I do love, it's funny, I love baseball films.
Mm.
But this one, I tell you, I'm in absolute floods of. I'm going to be crying when I play this piece of music. But it's actually star-studded adaptation of a Bernard Malamud novel. The only drawback is that the Malamud novel has a very, very dark ending. This gets a Hollywood ending,
right?
But it has a couple of like extraordinary moments within it, and this piece is from one of those from one of those big scenes.
It's Robert Redford as well, isn't it?
It is. Mm. Robert Redford, Glenn Close, Kim Basinger, Joe Don Baker, Barbara Hershey, and the name of this is Knock the Cover Off the Ball, which the scene which accompanies this piece of music is exactly what he does. And this is from the score by Randy Newman.
Thank you.
Oh, I think I'm going to go home and watch The Natural this afternoon.
Oh,
I'm in the mood for
out.
It. I will get myself a box of tissues before I get home. So, as we move swiftly into next week.
Well, there's some good stuff coming out. Well, I don't know. I haven't seen it yet, but interesting looking stuff coming out. I'm intrigued by The End. So this is an
this looks bonkers, doesn't it?
Apocalyptical musical film, but it's directed by Joshua Oppenheimer, who
it was a documentary.
From,
it was either, yeah. And he made, I can't remember the name of it, has gone. It's all set in the Philippines, wasn't it?
Yeah.
With and they reenacted, it was the guys had tortured people, reenacted them torturing people,
yeah,
wasn't it?
The Act of Killing.
Yes, that was it, The Act of Killing, sorry.
And it was it was massive in the documentary world, and it broke through. I think it might have got Oscars and stuff like that, but it got like a international reputation. But this film, so The End, is a musical set 25 years after the world's become uninhabitable, and we're with a very, very uber wealthy family of three, plus some people that they've kept, you know, help them out in a salt mine bunker. Massive, and they've got all of their riches with them. But it features Tilda Swinton, George Mackay, and Michael Shannon. So I'm intrigued by this. But it is one of those, it's actors that don't sing. But we'll see how that pans out. But I'm intrigued by the trailer for that.
Didn't do Lee Marvin any harm.
No, not at all.
Number one hit single.
There was a play put on of Doctor Strangelove, so it's Armando Iannucci's
version.
He's directed
it,
isn't
he?
That is showing NT Live on screens. I'm intrigued to catch that too. And Santosh, which is this Indian film, Santosh.
I see.
She plays this sort of weird idea that if you're the widow of a police constable, you have to fill their role. And it looks like an intriguing Indian drama, and that's out next week as well. Tonight we were talking about both links to these films, so you could see Starship Troopers tonight at the Light if you are so inclined.
Well, if you've never seen Starship Troopers, you need to come and see that. And you know what? You'll pay a dollar for that.
And Mulholland Drive is their David Lynch film.
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it, no.
Music's terrible.
And, of course, if you're into your action films, that's going on at the showroom this weekend.
Well, if you're into your action films next week, there is, and I'm sure you've all been waiting with bated breath, a new Jason Statham.
Jason Statham.
Bash 'em and shoot 'em, A Working Man, which follows the same narrative as probably half of his other films. Just a guy doing an ordinary job until he gets pushed too far. And only then do they realise that he was a special ops guy.
Criminally, we haven't reviewed the Danny Dyer-centred film Powder.
I thought you were going to talk about that because you just brought up the trailer, didn't you?
Yeah.
No, are we trying to worm out of it? No, wasn't
like,
me.
What was it me? Yeah, well, we've done the trailer. Don't need to do the film.
And there's also this Novocaine coming out with a guy from The Boys.
Oh, yeah. There's a preview of that on the Light this week.
With someone who, I don't know, he ends up being feeling incapable of pain, and so he gets into a lot of painful situations.
I'm not sure I want to. Do you know what we haven't talked about is what did you think of Mickey 17? I reviewed it.
You know
what,
I haven't seen it yet.
Haven't you?
No.
Oh.
I may
conversation.
Well, how much time have we got to fill? Would you like me to sing? You know, we're talking about people who can't sing in musicals. I could always do that for you.
Mickey 17, if you haven't seen it, it is still showing. I did sort of give it a gentle review. My review is basically, look, a film in his company is never not, you know, it's worth going to see, but it was a little bit disappointing for me. It was a bit of a mess.
All the reviews I've seen, I've only looked at the headlines, have pretty much seemed to have summarised a similar thing. So it's time for us to begin to wind up today's extravaganza and have a final piece of music from a Barry Levinson movie. And I know you've heard me say this about every Barry Levinson movie I've talked about at length, but this is from Tin Men. And I say, I do love Tin Men. And It has the Fine Young Cannibals in it. In fact, the Fine Young Cannibals did the music for it. And they're in this marvellous club scene where you see Richard Dreyfuss do what he's been accused of being able to do by the other Tin Men. He does a brilliant merengue. So that's it from me this week. Are you still writing down? Oh, you're still writing down film titles there.
I'm just marvelling at why you turned into Sean Connery then again.
Oh, that wasn't
doing
Sean
a brilliant merengue. Merengue.
You ready to play the music?
Go on then.
Right, enjoy your films, everyone.
Back next week.